Hayecham Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 43 in the series, entitled The Aspiration to Become Saintly, recorded live at Hayecham Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good morning, Perek Yudalet. 14th chapter of Tanya, page 38, or Daf Yotasamud Beis. We are up to the word Mashenkein, four lines from the bottom of the page. In the beginning of this chapter, the Alter Rebbe, Shneur Zalman of Liadi, explained that every single human being, every single Jew can and therefore should strive to be a Beinoni. The Beinoni is that spiritual profile, that personality who does not abhor evil, who is not repulsed by negativity. On the contrary, at times, the Beinoni can experience a powerful lust and craving towards negative realms, towards negative realities and objects and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, the Beinoni is that human being who does not allow the animalistic husk that exists within him to dominate and control his life. And in his thought, speech, and action, he always behaves in a manner which is consistent with his true self, with his deeper divine transcendental consciousness. This, says the Alter Rebbe, relates to every single human being. This is an ideal that every single man, without exception, can achieve at every single moment of his or her life. B'chal eis or b'chal shah. And I will continue. Masha'ein kim b'davar amasar l'lev. It is different, however, with something entrusted to the heart. The hainu meaning. She'yehei haramos mamash b'lev v'sanui. That one's heart should actually abhor and despise evil, whether betachlis hasina, whether with absolute hatred, ayafilu shalei betachlis hasina, or even not quite so utterly, hine such an issue, zei efshir shiyi b'mislamite. This cannot be attained in complete truth, ella al yidei gaidel v'teikif. Ha'aval Hashem, except through that level of intense love of Hashem, b'pchinnis ahava b'tanugim, called a love of delights, l'is'aneg al Hashem e'ein olam haba, which consists of delighting in godliness, akin to the bliss of olam haba, of the world to come. This is the difference between the Beinoni and the Tzaddik. The tzaddik, as discussed in previous chapters, especially in chapter 9, actually abhors negativity, abhors, despises anything that is antithetical to the divine will. This, the Alter Rebbe says, does not necessarily relate to every human being. This is a davar hamasar l'lev. This is something that's entrusted to the heart. You're not dealing with one's behavior in thought, speech, and action. You're dealing with one's inner consciousness, feelings, emotions, and perceptions. So when we are talking about one behaving in his thought, speech, and action in consistence with divine will, or in other words, that one's garments should be totally divine, that is achievable, that is feasible for every man at every time. But when we are dealing with adavar hamasar l'lev, that one should experience godliness and spirituality in a manner that permeates and penetrates his entire inner feeling, and his heart, his emotional self, becomes permeated only with godliness to the extent that he actually abhors, despises, and is disgusted with anything that is evil, whether with absolute hatred or with not absolute hatred, which is the difference between the complete tzaddik who abhors evil, but tachlis hasina, as discussed in chapter 10, or the incomplete tzaddik, the tzaddik she'ene gomer, who abhors it, shalei betachlis hasina. This can be achieved only by a unique type of affection and love to Hashem, defined earlier as ahava b'tanugim, a love of delights where a person basks and dwells in the radiance of Hashem in a manner that it pervades and it fills his entire personality. And this is actually an experience which is me'ein olam haba, keen to the world to come. The Gemara says in Brachas Daf Yud Zayin that olam haba, what is the definition of the world to come? Ein b'ilay achila v'lay shtiyah, there's no food, no drinks, other things. Tzadikim yeshrim v'atayseyem b'yoshayem v'nenem eziv hashchina. Tzadikim sit, their crowns on their head, and they bask in the radiance of godliness. They enjoy ziv hashchina, the ray of the shchina, of the divine presence. V'al ze amru razal, concerning one who experiences this, our sages say, "Ilamcha tira b'chayecha." You shall see a glimmer of your reward in the world to come in your lifetime. "Ilamcha," your olam haba, you should see in your lifetime. The Gemara says in Brachas, the same page of Yitzayin, that when the rabbis would depart from the great sage and scholar Reb Ami, they would bless him and they would say, "Ilamcha tira b'chayecha." You should merit to see a world in your lifetime. Not every man is privileged to attain this state. For it is in the nature of a reward which is received from above. Thus it is written in Parashas Korach, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Zayin, Avodas Matana Etinis Kunaschem V'Gomer. I, Hashem, will make your priestly office a rewarding service, K'mesha Kasev V'Makamacher, as explained elsewhere. The service of Hashem with this blissful love, this absolute state of ecstasy, is designated in Kabbalah and Chassidus as the state of kohuna, of priesthood. The idea of kohuna in spiritual terms is this level of ahava b'tanugam, love of delights. So therefore the pasuk says, avodas matana etines kohunaschem. This priestly state I will grant you as a present. It's an avoda that I give you, a matana. I will give it to you because this level of divine service is a gift from Hashem. And this is what characterizes what is unique about the tzaddik. By the tzaddik, we're dealing with another type of personality. The tzaddik is someone who despises Rab as a result of ahava. When you love something, and this is not just a plain love, it's ahava b'tanugim. It's a love which is experienced in olam haba. In olam haba, let's not forget, there is no materialism. There is no veneer. There is no husk. There is no curtain. The reality of godliness is as evident, as conspicuous, as all-pervading and all-embracing as materialism is in this world. It's difficult for us to even imagine such a type of reality. The tzaddik is a creature of olam haba walking on the face of this earth. And Alter Rebbe says this state is a state of kippul schar. It's a state of reward. He is, as if to say, he is receiving the reward that a soul receives in the world to come while he's still living on this physical space, on this physical plane. It's a human being who godliness pervades him in a manner of tainuk. He basks. He has a geschmack in it. That's his whole personality. It's not just a thirst, a yearning. That's not ava b'tanugim. That's ava kiris ve'esh. There's the love which is compared to fire, the love compared to water, like we discussed in chapters 9 and 10. As a result of this, anything that is opposite, anything that is antithetical to the divine reality, anything that is antithetical to truth, to the spirituality, the tzaddik is naturally repulsed by it. When a tzaddik sees another human being violating the divine will, it's like a healthy, sane human being looking how the mentally challenged people act in a beis mishugayim. In a place, an institution, unfortunately for mentally challenged people, when a sane person comes into there, he doesn't find a place over there. When a tzaddik sees someone violating the divine will, it's like you'll go over here in the street and you'll see someone eating glass. You can't understand from where should come the temptation for someone to eat glass. But it exists. The tzaddik cannot experience the craving of evil from within himself. He can understand it intellectually. The tzaddik knows about the evil in the world. Tzaddik doesn't mean a naive person. Tzaddik is very well in touch with reality and with the evil of reality. But he can't, not from his own experience. Not from his own experience. That's, by the way, Chassidus explains, the Alter Rebbe explains elsewhere, the difference between before Eitz Hadas and after Eitz Hadas. Before Adam ate of the Eitz Hadas, he knew everything about everything. But he didn't experience it. He knew about it. He knew about it. He was aware of it. And that itself creates a challenge. That itself creates a challenge. Eitz Hadas internalized it. Evil became part and parcel of his being, of his experience, of his emotional reality. So the tzaddik cannot experience Ra from within himself. He cannot envision, explain, articulate, understand what Ra is from his own imagination, from his own experience. Because in his experience, he is totally in touch and infused with his nefesh halikis. His nefesh habahamas has been absolutely transformed or eradicated at different levels. And therefore, Toiv is the only reality that characterizes him. And Ra is absolutely abhorred. This, the Alter Rebbe says, is a me'ein elam haba. It's kibul schar. And not every person is privileged to attain this level. You don't understand the expression b'makim shebal tshuva omitz afilu tzadik gomer in yachal amid. As a result of this, well, you learned chapter 7 in Tanya. The Alter Rebbe explains that the uniqueness of a Baal Tshuva who transforms his transgressions into meritorious deeds that even the tzaddik doesn't have. You learned chapter 7. The Alter Rebbe explains over there the idea that a real Baal Tshuva, what he manages to do is he taps in to his negative deeds and he utilizes them as a vehicle, as an instrument that fuel a love and a yearning to Hashem that's far greater than any type of love and yearning which is experienced without any downfall or transgression. And this is tzaddik doesn't have.
I understand, but just as much as tzaddik seems to have tanugim in olam hazeh, like a shtickle of the ray of sun, the olam hazeh while he's walking, the Baal Tshuva is also going to be having this hazeh.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. When you say that a Baal Tshuva is greater than a tzaddik, it doesn't mean that there is no advantage in a tzaddik over a Baal Tshuva. But there is a certain superiority, a certain greatness that exists in the Baal Tshuva that doesn't exist in the tzaddik. V'lachein amar Iyev, therefore Iyev Job said, Baras a tzaddikim chulu, you created tzaddikim. And over here, the Alter Rebbe, the author, returns to what he began to address in the first chapter of the Tanya. When the Alter Rebbe opened up the Sefer, he quoted the Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Tzayin Amud Aleph, which discusses the tragic personality known as Iyev. And the Gemara says that Iyev came to Hashem and he exclaimed, Barasa Tzadikim, Barasa Rishayim. The human being's conduct and behavior is actually, Iyev said, predetermined. You have created Tzadikim, you have created Rishayim. He says, you have created an ox which has split hooves, you have created a donkey which has unsplit hooves, you have created Gan Eden, you have created Gehenna, you have created Tzadikim, and you have created Rishayim. So the Alter Rebbe asks the question, Vat Tzadik v'Rasha Leikamar? How can the Gemara quote this and not even object to it when we know the Gemara says elsewhere in Nida that the only thing that is not determined concerning one's life is if he shall be a Tzadik or a Rosh? The Gemara says in Nida, Daf Tezayin, that prior to the birth of a child of a human being, so to speak, the angel that's in charge, that's given the authority over birth, presents the procreative liquid to Hashem, the tipa, and says, this tipa, this substance, should it be wise or should it be foolish? Should it be wealthy? Should it be poor? Should it be strong? Should it be weak? And Hashem determines all these factors. But tzaddik v'rasha lo'ikamer, if it should be a tzaddik v'rasha, is not decreed. Because hakel b'dei shamayim chutz mi'ir shamayim, the Gemara says there. Everything is in the hands of heaven besides one thing, fear of heaven. So what does Iyev, how can we justify Iyev's words, barasa tzaddik and barasa rishayim? But in light of what has been explained, till now we can understand it. Barasa tzaddikim means that there are certain souls that were created with the potential to be tzaddikim. And there were other souls, most souls, that were not created with this potential to be tzaddikim. When the Gemara says tzaddik v'rasha leikamer, it's talking about the borrowed term of a tzaddik and rasha. The behavioral aspects of a tzaddik and rasha. This is not determined. When we talk about barasa tzaddikim, we're talking about the essential character of a tzaddik, the true meaning and definition of a tzaddik. Someone who has transformed his entire animalistic husk. Someone who has removed the shell of corporeality. Someone in whose life the curtain of the physical world does not exist. This human being has to be granted unique potentials, unique resources, unique spiritual energies to reach this state. This does not mean that this person will necessarily be a tzaddik. A person has free choice, and this great tzaddik can also fall very low. It means that this human being has to work and toil to reach this state, but nevertheless the potential exists from his creation, Barasa Tzaddikim, to develop himself into a tzaddik. Versus other souls, Barasa Rishayim, as Alter Rebbe will discuss in chapter 27, explain this aspect, you have created them in a manner that their whole life they will be internally experiencing those same dynamics that the Rasha experiences. So this is the Barasa Tzaddikim and the Barasa Rishayim. Okay, the Isa B'Tikunim, as stated in Tikkuni Zayar, the introduction to Tikkuni Zayar, a part of the Zayar, it's on page Aleph Amid Beis, Sheyesh B'Neshamas Yisrael. Kama Mine Madregis Upchinis, that there are many grades and degrees in Jewish souls. And the Zayar enumerates, there are Chassidim, pious men, Giborim, strong men, Amazgaber Mal Yitzchum, who gain mastery over their evil inclination, Mare Torah, scholars of the Torah, Nevi'im, prophets, Chulu, Tzadikim, Chulu, etc. Ein sham no dir. Accordingly, within the ranks of the souls, there are those who are categorized as tzaddikim. In other words, there are those types of souls that essentially are connected to the realm of a tzaddik. They are given this potential to develop themselves and become tzaddik. Versus other souls, and most other souls are not given this potential. So this is sometimes something that's connected to a select few. It's mein olam haba. It's an experience of the world to come in this world. But most other souls do not have this potential to actually be removed from the whole husk of Klipa, from the whole husk of the Nefesh HaBahamas. What they can strive and what every single person can be is to become a Beinoni. And this is a very important factor which the Alter Rebbe keeps on emphasizes quite a few times throughout the Tanya. Very often, as we discussed also several times, a human being achieves a certain sense of appreciation for Yiddishkeit, for spirituality, for godliness. He sometimes experiences idealistic moments when he feels good about doing a mitzvah, when he feels good about growing spiritually and developing himself in consistent with the divine will. But then this very same human being, as time passes, suddenly explores that there is still a lot of darkness harboring within him. And we're not talking about someone who's lazy, someone who works and toils and develops himself and works very hard, and he thinks that he has achieved a certain state of spiritual tranquility, a certain state of spiritual sensitivity, a certain state of godly awareness, and he celebrates that. And it comes as a result of learning, of contemplation, of suspending one's ego, and so on and so forth. Difficult toil. And then another situation emerges, a new circumstance is revealed, and he sees that he's a very ugly person. There's a lot of ugliness and darkness coming, existing within him. And he's an animal. It's a gefelte, yeah? So how does one deal with it? Very often, and when you talk to people, this is a major, major issue. One easily falls into a state of despair, or at least melancholiness, depression. Often one can give up the fight. Is that worth anything? It seems futile. It's vanity. You look in the Torah, and the Torah demands a certain type of human being. The role model, the tzaddik, the morally perfected human being. And a person strives to develop himself. And then after everything's said and done, the ugliness is there with its full intensity and strength. This is what Alter Rebbe is addressing here. Not everyone has to be a tzaddik. Not everyone can be a tzaddik. You're not guilty. You're not evil. You're not bad. You're not destroying your plan. You're not a lost soul and totally alienated from the divine plan and purpose because you're not morally perfected. Not everyone can be morally perfected, even if they try and toil for a lifetime, for two lifetimes, whatever it may be. The tzaddik is an experience which is an olam haba experience, essentially destined to the soul after, following, subsequent her life on this earth. The tzaddik experiences this in this world. Olam chatir b'chayach. So the human being can know that he is not perfect from an ethical and spiritual perspective, and nevertheless has the power to be a true servant of Hashem and to truly fulfill His purpose in this world. The very battle and conflict in the human being, the Alter Rebbe says, is not negative. It's not evil, it's not bad. You're allowed to have darkness within you. You're allowed to have ugliness within you. The fact that there is a duality, there's a multiplicity, there are two perceptions, two perspectives, two philosophies, two types of lusts, two forces to which the person gravitates, does not have to create a psychological crisis. Does not have to put the person through an identity crisis which can cause him to fall into despair. A person can be complete in his thought, speech, and action in a real way, and nevertheless not be complete in the essential dynamics of a soul. From a person is required and demanded to be complete in the garments of a soul, not to achieve perfection in the essence of a soul. And this is what Alter Rebbe says, Barasa Tzaddikim. There are those unique people who achieve this state of Tzaddikim, who can achieve this state of Tzaddikim. But Midas HaBeinini, the rank of the Beinini, who is the ordinary man who has that duality, and nevertheless does not allow the husk to dominate his life, is Midas Kaladam, relates to every person, Vachara Kaladam Yimshaych. This is accessible. This is a mirror and a reflection of what every single human being at every moment and fork in his life can and should experience and achieve. But also, Vait from easy. It's far from easy. But this is a mirror of the ordinary man who does not allow himself to be defeated, to be lost as a result of the veneer. But who always knows the secret, knows where the duality is stemming from, taps into his soul, and allows that to control his life. Now let's continue. Any questions? Clear? Yeah. Pardon? A tzaddik, how does he start off? A tzaddik starts off like every human being. He has two nefashot, a yetzitov and a yetzahara, but nevertheless works and transforms it or gets rid of it. By the way, the Eilam Chatir B'Chiecha, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, concerning the people that experience the world to come in this world, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, the conclusion of the first chapter, that there were three human beings. Three human beings, Hashem gave them a taste of Olam Haba while they were still in this world. Who? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'yashayimrim, also David. Shenema v'libi chalal b'kirbi. David HaMelech says, v'libi chalal b'kirbi, Rashi says, my Yetzirah is mace, my heart is slain within me. In other words, the Yetzirah is dead within me, so he experienced Olam Haza within Olam Haba. This is only the Yashayimrim. The other Yashayimrim who says that David is not part of them explains the Pasuk, Libi Chal Bekirbi, that my heart was dead in me, as Rashi explains, because from the so many tsaris, so many crises and difficulties and challenges and trials that David HaMelech experienced in his life, he says, my heart is dead. It's totally another type of interpretation. So this is the idea. We see from here that the definition of Eilam Chatir B'Chayech is connected to a man who experiences a state of heart where Libi Chalul B'Kirbi, where only the Nefesh Elikis is at play. And this is basically the very powerful difference between the Tzaddik and the Beinoni. You see, the Beinoni is behind the curtain. And by the Beinoni, there's always that brick wall. Always. There can be, the curtain can sometimes be translucent, can sometimes be transparent, but there's a curtain and sometimes there's a wall. The Beinoni, however, doesn't stop banging against the wall. Always banging and banging. And the Alter Rebbe later has to comfort the Beinoni. Because you're banging against a brick wall for 70, 80, 90 years, and it never falls. A little breach, a larger breach, but the wall is always there. That's the uniqueness of the Beinoni. And that's how he fulfills his purpose of creation. Being in a world which is a lowly world, which is a world that is totally inhospitable to its creator, a world where there's a powerful duality, where there's a perception of materialism that absolutely obscures the divine soul, where ego plays a major role, and in that world, the Beinoni touches the divine. The tzaddik is a soul that is beyond the curtain, beyond the wall, where godliness is reality. Reality like this cup is reality in our eyes. You don't have to meditate upon it. You don't have to think, is it reality? Is it not reality? You don't doubt, you don't question. This is real. This is it. It's real. Now we may understand the repetitious wording in the oath, Tehi tzaddik v'al tehi rasha. Be a tzaddik and do not be a rasha. Again, he returns to what has been discussed in the first chapter of the Tanya. And in fact, this was the opening statement of the whole Sefer HaTanya. Tanya b'seif peri gimel denida. The Gemara in Masech Denida, the third chapter, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, talks about the state of the child, the fetus, in the womb of its mother. And the Gemara says that prior to the departure of the child from its mother's womb, an oath is administered to the child, to the soul of this new, fresh human being. And what is the content of this oath? There are several components to the oath, but the first two components are Tehi tzaddik v'al tehi rasha. Make sure you're now going to live a life. Life poses many obstacles and many challenges. Make sure you're a tzaddik and not a rasha. So the Alter Rebbe says, the lecha'ayre tamu'a, at first glance, it seems somewhat difficult to understand. Once he is charged to be a tzaddik, why the need to adjure him again not to be a rasha? Any way you look at it, it doesn't make sense. If the first oath to be a tzaddik is going to help, if it does give him the opportunity, so why do you have to administer a second oath? Don't be a rasha. If you're a tzaddik, you're certainly not a rasha. In Tanya, we see furthermore, you could not be a rasha, you can be a beinoni, and you're still not a tzaddik. But certainly, if tehi tzaddik, you're going to be a tzaddik, so certainly you won't be a rasha. And if the shvua doesn't help, the first shvua, so the second oath won't either help, the second aspect of the oath, al tehi rasha. So what is the repetition? What is the significance of this apparent redundancy? Ella, the answer is, mishum she'ein kol adam zeichel tzaddik. Inasmuch as not everyone is privileged to become a tzaddik, ve'ein la'adam mishpat abchir b'zeh kol kach, nor has a person the full advantage of choice in this matter. It's not like not every person is zeicha because people are essentially lazy and careless. That's often true, but it's not the only issue. Ein la'adam mishpat abchir b'zeh kol kach. This is not an issue which is so much a matter of free choice. Why? Because we are dealing with an experience of l'is'aneg al Hashem be'emes, experiencing a true delight in Hashem, v'sheyiyah haram mos mamish be'emes, and that the evil negativity should be abhorred, really, should truly be abhorred. It should be an emesdik experience. Emes means intrinsic, essential, under all circumstances. Therefore, consequently, each person is adjured a second time. Al tihi rasha al kolponim. You shall at any rate not be a rasha. Even if a person is not privileged to become a tzaddik, he should at very least, the shvua tells him, not be a rasha. Being instead a beinoni. Shebazeh, with regard to this, versus with regard to being a tzaddik. Mishpat ha-bchir av ha-reshus nesun al-chal adam. The right of choice and freedom is extended to every man. Limshael beruach ta'avasi shebeliboy, to control the spirit of lust in his heart. V'lichboish yitzrei, and to conquer his nature. So that he shall not be wicked for even one moment throughout his life. This applies both in the realm of sur mira, turning away from evil, which means refraining from negative deeds, words, or thoughts, as well as in that realm of doing good, performing all the positive things and endeavors and mitzvahs in which a human being, a Jew, is obligated. Particularly, the mitzvah of learning Torah, concerning which our sages say there is no good rather than Torah, the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Hei, the Hainu, meaning Talmud Torah Shekeneged Kula, the study of Torah which balances, which means it's equal to all the other mitzvahs combined, as we say every morning, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, from the Mishnah and Peya. So the Beinoni has the ability to perform all mitzvahs meticulously, even the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is quite difficult, because all mitzvahs have a time. Even if they're done every day, but there is a certain confinement to them. Talmud Torah is a constant mitzvah. Whenever you don't have to do anything, there's always the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You could sit and learn at this moment. And this, to say that the person can actually achieve this goal of performing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as he is obligated in Shulchan Aruch, is a very powerful statement. But this is feasible. This can be attained by every single human being. The state of a tzaddik, tihi tzaddik, is an oath that's administered to the soul. But this, we don't have full choice. To attain this, a person was not granted a full choice. However, we say, even if you will not, can't be a tzaddik, al tihi rasha. This, taka, in your actual life, don't be a rasha, because every person, under every circumstance, no matter his background, affiliation, challenges, justified challenges, unjustified challenges, fantasies, whatever it is, a human being, every single human being can control his life and does not have to allow the animalistic, egotistical, earthly, profane elements of his consciousness to gain mastery over him and to control him. He doesn't have to allow himself to fall prey to the animal which is in him. So what's your question? Why Tehi Tzaddik?
No. Okay. So he says that in whatever situation that he can, he doesn't have to be a Rasha. And then he goes on, then Atani goes on to say, Bain
B'pchinnes Sumerah, Bain B'pchinnes Vasei Teif.
Does he also mean that whatever, he doesn't have to be a Rasha, so sigh whether he whether your principal mode of avodah is to Sumerah, you can be a Beinoni, or sigh if your B'china, if your avodah, no.
That's not what he's trying to say. He's saying you can be a Beinoni both in areas of Sur Meirah, both in areas of Asei Taiv. A person cannot say, listen, this Taiv is very, very powerful and I cannot control myself. I have to do this once in a while. I can't do anything. What do you want? The situation comes and it just overwhelms me and I can't control myself.